They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
With the president last evening calling on Americans to overcome fear in the face of terrorism, a look at how some consumers are responding to the attacks. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The FBI is on pace for a record year in terms of processing gun background checks. Now, that does not officially mean a record number of gun sales, but it is an indication of consumer interest in purchasing firearms. Another area of growth is bulletproof vests, jackets, helmets, even bulletproof backpacks. Marketplace's Noel King checks in with two companies in that industry.
Joe Curran is the president of Bullet Blocker. He started his business by making two bulletproof backpacks for his own kids.
That I was very nervous about.
This was a few years after Columbine.
Friends and family all asked me for some for their kids. And they said, well, you should start a company.
On Bullet Blocker's website, the backpacks sell for around $180 and up. The company also sells vests, helmets, lab coats. Curran says sales rise after a shooting. The bulletproof backpack before Sandy Hook
would maybe sell 20 a week.
In the 3 weeks after,
it went up to 10,000.
Shalini Solomon is e-commerce manager at Security Pro USA, a body armor company.
I see more growth in, you know, your average consumer that probably would never even think that I have any relation to someone who might own a gun or come shooting up my place. But those are now the people who are really thinking about, oh, wow, am I safe at work or am I safe in my own church?
A day after San Bernardino, she says sales rose 600%. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
Of opposition parties has taken control of the National Assembly in Venezuela in elections dominated by the socialist government's handling of the economy. President Nicolas Maduro said it had been a hard day, but he accepted the results. The BBC's Wira Davies is following this from Caracas.
Although Nicolas Maduro remains president of Venezuela, this significantly weakens his power and his party's control over the country. The opposition alliance is confident of ultimately taking at least 112 seats in Congress. According to senior figures in the movement, that would allow them to pass laws allowing the release of political prisoners and to reverse appointments to senior legal positions made by the current government. 17 years after Hugo Chavez stormed to power at the head of a socialist revolution, his utopian dream may be over. Chavez died almost 3 years ago, and his successor, President Maduro, has presided over a worsening economic crisis as the price of oil, Venezuela's main export earner, has tumbled on global markets.
Authorities at America's central bank are meeting next week on whether to start raising interest rates for the first time in 9 years. Today, though, let's get an update on the musical version, the one on Broadway about Alexander Hamilton fighting for what would eventually become the Fed.
If we assume the debts the union gets, a new line of credit, a financial diuretic, how do you not get it? If we're aggressive and competitive, the union gets a boost. You'd rather give it a sedative.
You'd rather get a sedative. Title character of Hamilton arguing with Jefferson. Jeffrey Seller is one of the producers of this Broadway blockbuster about America's first Treasury Secretary and the man who shaped our financial system. Mr. Seller, good morning.
Good morning, David. It's great to be here with you.
You know, I remember seeing a video of the writer and eventual star here, Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's at the White House. It's at some event back in 2009. And he tells the crowd, I think Michelle Obama's sitting there, that he's writing a musical about Alexander Hamilton. People laugh like he's joking. It's such an unlikely topic.
Yeah, one could say that making a musical about perhaps America's first bureaucrat wouldn't be the greatest idea ever invented. And here we are with the perhaps greatest advance ever created.
I'm just imagining what your pitch was to move this forward when you're working on this project. You know, it's like Jesus Christ Superstar, only it's about central banking.
Well, the first thing to know is that my bet wasn't on the topic, it was on the creator. It's always on the artist. Certainly, any great story that ends in a duel has potential. And of course, a first act that is dominated by an American revolution is also bound to be a rollicking good time. It was the second act where I always said to Lynn, it's a lot harder to write governing than it is to write revolutionizing. And somehow he made governing perhaps the most exciting part of the play of all. Rap battles in the cabinet room.
Rap battles, exactly. Now, the other day, I'm minding my business. I'm walking down 46th Street near Times Square, and there's a commotion in front of your theater. Upon further inspection, you had some guy running an auction for some day of tickets to Hamilton. How's that work, and why are you doing this?
When my then business partner, Kevin McCullum, and I created the lottery system back at Rent in 1996, we started by saying it's first come, first serve, get on the line. And kids were sleeping over in sleeping bags on West 41st Street in 1997. Now, you can imagine what West 41st Street was like in 1997. I was afraid someone was going to get hurt. After those lines became so long, we decided, let's go to a lottery system, and then anybody can show up at 6 o'clock, put their name in the hat, and have an equal shot as everybody else is getting that ticket at 8 o'clock. And then, in fact, that became the system that almost every Broadway show uses.
Jeffrey Sellers, the producer of Hamilton, starring and written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mr. Seller is also the Rent guy, the Avenue Q guy, and the In the Heights guy. Mr. Seller, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow here, a conversation with the head of a big philanthropy about giving New York City public schoolers a history lesson by getting 11th graders in to see that show. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.